Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. We've been gone for a month, but we have returned. And we got, like, you know, two significant events to talk about, which is Hell in a Cell and Halloween Havoc for NXT. We got Full Gear this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of news and notes here and there, but being how we've been away for like a month, we're not going to try to cover everything because that will be here for like all day. And we don't have all day. We have other things we need to do. So,
I mean, you're not wrong.
So, but yeah.
So we are going to cover a little bit of news and notes, but like I said, it's been a month. A lot has happened. The Twitch apocalypse has happened in WWE.
Yep.
A bunch of people have had their Twitches shut down. But yeah, a bunch of people are still streaming. Question mark.
Well, we know Paige has been defiant and pretty much said that she's not handing it over.
Yeah. And Adam Cole was still streaming after the decree came down. So maybe it's just a main roster thing. Who knows? But Dakota Kai got her shut down for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, the Twitch apocalypse has happened. What else?
The cameos got shut down.
Did they? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, that was part of the whole Twitch apocalypse. Was also Cameo, because Big E and a whole bunch of others shut down their cameos as well.
Okay. Let's see. What other news has there been? There's going to be a Netflix documentary about the life of Vince McMahon. And everyone's like, oh, this is going to be good. And then they find out Vince McMahon's involved. And they're like, well, we're not getting the truth.
Well, I mean, they got the same guy who did the Andre the Giant documentary.
Right.
So I think it will be good.
It'll be good.
But at the same time,
it won't be the truth. It'll be good.
Yeah. At the same time, how much truth are we going to get? Because if everyone remembers, God, it was like mid-2000s when they did the McMahon documentary, when WWE did their own called McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to see the curtain pulled back a little bit,
but not
enough. How much is Vince really willing to pull back for this Netflix documentary?
Who knows?
So,
there's been a draft. That happened.
Lana's been put through an announce table seven times.
Seven times, yeah. And the WWE think that's going to make her a face.
Not just a face. A super baby face.
Yeah. Guess what? It's not working. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is the best thing on WWE TV? Question mark?
Alexa Bliss?
By a long way? By like a long way, this whole Roman Reigns storyline is the best thing on TV right now? Who would have predicted that a year ago?
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you need to go away and then come back and reinvent yourself.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that
it's a good thing, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's such a good story. It's such a good story.
I mean, you also have to agree that, like, what they're doing with Alexa Bliss has been really good. And it looks like
it's good. It's not the Roman Reigns good.
Yeah. But on Monday night, they started to reintroduce Nikki Cross back into the storyline.
Yeah, I saw that. So I saw that.
I just want to throw this out there. You know how, like, when Alexa and Nikki were a tag team, Alexa, in a way, tamed Nikki Cross. what if they use this as a way to get back the sanity version of the Twisted Sister Nikki Cross?
I'd be down for that.
I'd be down for that too. It'd be the only essence of sanity like, still left.
I'm pretty sure they just changed her entrance music.
Yeah, they changed hers. They changed Peyton Royce's. They changed Alexa's slightly. Alexa now has like a fiendish touch to her.
Her theme now. If they just changed Nikki's music, I doubt they're going to take her back to
the dark side.
Yeah, there's no more Shorty G.
It's just Chad Gable. And apparently that might have been a Daniel Bryan push.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yep.
Oh man, I hope they do something with him. They continue to bury Retribution.
Although this past Monday, because they finally got him away from Hurt Business and they started going after like Tucker and Ricochet, it looks like they're now finally going in the direction that they probably should have gone in this beginning.
Maybe, yeah.
So we'll see. Mustafa Ali was on Raw Talk after Raw on Monday, and he actually, in storyline, explained everything about why they went after Ricochet, why they went after Tucker. Mm-hmm. And in a weird way, they just did the most continuity thing ever. Remember when they're doing the whole hacker gimmick on SmackDown? Well, it came out a couple weeks ago that Ali was in fact the hacker.
Yep. And he did what he was doing to help Otis.
Yep. And him attacking Tucker was because of what he did to Otis. And it's like, did they just do a continuity thing?
Yeah.
Like, WWE still does that?
It's weird, man. Like, sometimes they do real hard with their continuity, and at other times they're just like, forget that ever happened.
Thunderdome notes. So as everyone remembered, originally the contract was going to expire in October, which is why Hell in a Cell got bumped up. It's now going to expire on November 24th, which means Survivor Series will be the last pay-per-view and the Raw after will be the last actual thing that they do at Amway Center. They are looking for a new venue because they can't be sharing a venue that's going to be having the Orlando Magic and the Orlando Solar Bears of the ECHL because they're both supposed to start their seasons very soon. Wherever they go is expected to be the home until February, but for the Royal Rumble, WWE is reportedly working on something different because they want fans for the Rumble. They do, who knows, but they're trying to work on something for it.
I suspect they're going to do something along the lines of what AEW is doing. They're doing like pods that you can... They call them pods. They're not actual pods. They're just areas you can sit.
Yeah.
That other people can't.
But you still have fans in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they want that real crowd noise because apparently Stephanie McMahon did an interview recently. I forget with who. And she actually said that when they did the Thunderdome, they were very hesitant and been wanting to pipe in audience sound. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they had, Hell in a Cell, where they piped in This Is Awesome chants, which was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing when they pipe in boos because I know what they're trying to do there. They're trying to dictate who's a heel and who's a face and stuff like that. So I get that. But, like, I think we can tell if the match is awesome if we're that hooked into it.
Yeah.
Which actually is a good segue. If you're cool with it, I want to hold the one piece of NXT news for when we talk Halloween Havoc.
Okay.
It's a good tie-in.
We should probably talk about the quarter three earnings call.
Yep.
In which, long story short, regardless of plummeting ratings, WWE has made more profit than literally ever in any other quarter ever. Yeah, they fired all those people. And then there was talk about them having somewhere in the region of $600 million operating budget. Vince said that everything's fine with the booking.
Maybe with a couple things here or there, sure.
Yeah.
Stephanie is apparently taking on a more expanded role, was revealed. I did read that.
Great.
Yeah.
Just what we needed, more McMahons.
I think she took over like the global affairs under the chief brand officer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which she's been kind of doing for a while anyway. So it's just been made official, really. They touted their e-commerce being up to 9.1 million, an increase of 60%. They neglected to mention the fact that there was literally no other commerce, which is why e-commerce is up. But
that sounds like what Microsoft did with the 360 a year after the PS3 came out.
They are not expecting as big a profits next quarter because they have to make like a $27 million payout for the Thunderdome and other related expenses, which is fair, right? Got to pay for a building if you're using it, right?
Got to pay for all the workers that have to do it and all the tech and stuff. So yeah, that's understandable.
Let's see here. Operating income was $63.4 million, an increase of nearly 9 times.
So they're spending more on production.
They're spending less.
Oh, less.
They are making more money.
Oh, they're making more money on production.
Because they're not having to spend to like fly people around and ship.
Though honestly, that could change because the three states that have been talked about for the new Thunderdome location is Illinois, North Carolina, and Texas.
Right, but you're not having to fly people all around the country every day for house shows, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Cash equivalents, short-term on-hand investments, $638 million.
That's a lot of money.
Tell me again why they fired all those people.
I think for a decent number of them, it was just that they weren't going to use them ever again.
Anyway, what else has happened news-wise? Like I said, it's been a month, right? So we're kind of we're kind of having a scratch. Yeah, Kylie Rae.
Kylie Rae.
Yeah.
So, and you and I were talking about this earlier because, and you read the statement, it's up to interpretation. Also,
yeah.
I should bring this up too. You don't know what Kylie Rae has actually said to others.
Right.
In the industry.
I just don't think that they would put that out on Twitter if it had been said in a private
thing. Well, because, I think she told him first and then made the announcement on the Patreon.
Maybe.
Because that way she didn't catch people offhand offhand or something like that. So, Kylie Rae pretty much, up to interpretation, announced her retirement from wrestling, is stepping away from social media to take care of her mental health. Mm-hmm. I actually believe this is the third time in 2 years.
Second or third time.
Yeah. And
she definitely had something similar when she left AEW. So.
Yeah, and then she came back to Impact, and I believe she took a little bit of time off, came back again, and then this. So, I mean, hopefully she, we just want to wish her the best.
Yeah, I mean, she says she hopes she can come back and fulfill her obligations at some point, but I'd also say don't force it, lady. Just do you.
Do you be happy?
No.
Don't put yourself through hell. Everyone already knows 2020 has been that hell anyway.
Fuck the haters, man. Fuck the haters.
So with that, you ready for Hell in a Cell?
Sure. Let's talk Hell in a Cell.
All right.
Or the show that should have been two matches.
I agree with that sentiment. Maybe three at the most, but definitely
two. The show that should have been two matches.
So on the pre-show, you had R-Truth defeat Drew Gulak to retain the 24/7 title in 5:25. Okay. Then on
the main card, what else do you want me to say? I mean, I'm getting real fucking tired of R-Truth in that title.
I mean, they put it on Gulak on Monday.
Right. And how long is that going to last?
Hopefully a long time to keep.
Well, last time they put the title on someone, the very next show it went back to R-Truth.
Yeah.
So,
to kick off the main card, you had Roman Reigns against Jey Uso in a Hell in a Cell I Quit match for the Universal Championship, which went 29 minutes and 20 seconds. Roman Reigns actually defeated Jay when Jay said, "I quit," after Jimmy got involved in the match and got put in the guillotine by Roman.
Yeah.
And according to this, and I'm saying this from Wikipedia, but I thought it was just initially just Jay that had to do it. But according to this, it says since Jay quit, he and his brother Jimmy have to take orders and acknowledge.
It's always been that way.
Okay.
It's always been that way.
I've missed a couple SmackDowns because of work.
Basically, when Roman announced the stipulation, he was like, "You, and since you brought your brother into this, him too."
Okay.
So.
All right. I just wanted to make sure because I've missed a couple SmackDowns because of work. So. I thought the psychology in this match was good. It wasn't just about the actual physicality of the match. It was about the actual emotional headgear that was played in this match.
It was very much a worthy successor to Clash of Champions. This is singly the best thing on WWE TV right now. Absolutely the best thing on TV right now. On the WWE TV right now.
Yeah.
The only thing that's slightly close to it, like you say, is the Alexa story, but that's kind of veering a bit out of control at this point. been. If you ask me, but.
Well, we could talk more about that when we get to the main event, because it feels like there's a few things involved with the WWE title at this point now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next up, you had Elias defeat Jeff Hardy by disqualification in a singles match in 7 minutes and 50 seconds. Then you had The Miz with John Morrison defeat Otis with the help from Tucker to become the new Money in the Bank contract holder.
Yeah, because it makes absolute sense to draft Tucker and Otis to different brands and then them have them start a feud.
Which isn't going to really fully go on until after Survivor Series.
Right.
That match took 7 minutes and 25 seconds, and so now Miz holds the contract.
This needed to happen. It was quite clear that Vince didn't know what the hell to do once he put the briefcase on Otis.
I thought it would have been kind of cool if they actually did cash in the contract on the tag titles.
When both the tag titles are being held by face tag teams?
Yeah. Well, at the time, keep in mind, Cesaro and Shinsuke had in there a
female tag team. True.
So they could have done it on Cesaro and Nakamura. But
Vince has never seen anything in Tucker, which is wrong. But he's always seen Otis as the star of that team. And I don't think he was looking to do that. He booked himself into a corner of putting the contract on Otis because he thought it would be funny, I guess. But then there was never anyone for him to cash in on. So,
yeah. I mean, they did the tease a couple times with Braun when he was champion, but
yeah, putting the contract on The Miz is the right idea.
Yeah,
because he's the kind of smarmy heel that can do something with it.
Yeah. And it's also kind of near the anniversary time of when he actually cashed in
Randy
Orton.
10 years.
Yeah. It was like the night.
Someone will find upset Miz girl.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Like the night after Survivor Series 10 years ago, he cashed in on Randy Orton, who ironically is currently the WWE champion now, which we'll get to in a little bit. So then in the next match, you had Sasha Banks defeat Bayley by submission inside Hell in a Cell for the SmackDown Women's title in 26 minutes and 35 seconds.
What a match. You may not be the biggest. I'm not the biggest fan of Sasha and Bayley, but.
Hell of a match. What,
excellent grabs. Excellent grabs. Top tackers.
Oh, yeah. Definitely enjoyed that match. It's good to see Sasha Banks come out of that match not injured, because she got hurt in the first two that she was in.
Yeah.
And also, I believe this is the first time Sasha has actually won a title on a pay-per-view outside of NXT.
No.
No?
No. It is...
singles title.
She's never defended a title on NXT, on pay-per-view.
So we'll see how that works for her post-Survivor Series. Because obviously they're going to do the champions versus champions and stuff.
Well, we've got Bayley versus Sasha this week on SmackDown for the title.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see how that goes.
And they're actually playing up the fact that Sasha can never successfully defend the title.
Good, good. We'll make Friday worth watching.
Like, Bayley was actually like, hey, you've never successfully defended the title, so why don't I just challenge you now?
Yep. Then, actually, this was something that was recurring throughout the night. Where Retribution laid down a challenge to Bobby Lashley, the Hurt Business. Well, technically to the Hurt Business in general. The Hurt Business responded saying, we'll have Bobby Lashley fight for us, but he'll also put the title up on the line too. And they selected Slapjack to take on Bobby Lashley, which Bobby Lashley squashed in 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Is it just me, or does Slapjack give like Dean Ambrose / Miz type vibes with the way he moves around?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. He kind of like has like a little bit of that Miz vibe to him, but also kind of like that Dean Ambrose, John Moxley like swagger a bit too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. Got squashed though. And then we had Randy Orton defeat Drew McIntyre to become the new WWE champion inside Hell in a Cell, which lasted 30 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah.
I wasn't disappointed with this match. I kind of agree with what a lot of people say, is that I'm a little surprised that they finally put the title on Orton this way, especially where they had him like lose to Drew like 3 times.
Yeah,
so it was a little weird. But I mean, at the same time, we knew that they wanted to take the title off of Drew because they wanted to put it back on him in front of a crowd.
Yeah, the night of the show, I was talking to friend of the podcast, Aaron Oster, and I don't know what putting the belt on Orton serves. Right?
Yeah.
There's a few... There's a few ways it could go, right? Like, especially now that they've revealed that they kind of want to bring in fans for Royal Rumble. So maybe they want to put the belt back on Drew at Royal Rumble when there's fans. Or maybe they're intending to have Randy carry all the way to WrestleMania and defend against Edge.
Yeah, which, that's been one rumor, is that which is the, have the blow-off match with Edge.
Which is the what people think is going to happen. But frankly, that match doesn't need the belt, right? It doesn't need the title. And the other option is that he's going to carry it to Mania, maybe defense against Big E, when Big E wins the Rumble and cashes in, goes to Raw and rejoins the New Day. That's another option. But the fact of the matter is, why Orton, right? Why put it on him? He doesn't need the belt. Spend your time, build up a new heel, and have them dethrone Drew, right? Like, if you're that insistent about dethroning him.
Yeah, but at the same time, who would you put in the position of taking it off of Drew?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is if they'd taken the 3 months prior, rather than having him feuding with Orton, if they'd taken the 3 months prior to actually build a new heel, they could have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a second to look at the roster and I'll give you like 12 options.
Yeah. So that was...
Let's see. AJ Styles.
He just moved over in the draft.
Still could have done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not arguing that he can't, but... literally just moved back over in the draft.
Let's see. Shelton Benjamin, who again just moved over in the draft, I think.
No, he stayed on Raw.
All right. Angel Garza. Business. Spent some time building up Angel Garza. Get him to do it.
Especially with Andrade on SmackDown now.
Yep. Let's see. You really want to spend time building someone up and have them do it? Elias. What are the promos that boy could cut?
Yeah, especially the fact now that apparently on this past Raw, that was the end of his feud with Jeff Hardy? Question mark.
They did a guitar on a pole match.
And They could have built that one up a little bit longer and not do the guitar on a pole match.
Well, it's kind of Elias' own fault, right? Because he's like feuding with someone over something that it was proven it wasn't them. So,
and he's been away long enough to actually see the evidence that it wasn't
them. Right, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know.
But also, you know, going back to Orton, though, for a moment. Mm-hmm. So Orton now has the title. And as you mentioned earlier, the whole thing with The Fiend and Alexa Bliss is kind of veering off a little bit at this point. Mm-hmm. But look, if you look at Raw and what's been surrounding Orton since he's become champion, Drew has been hot on his tail.
Yep.
Like right off the bat. You've had Bray Wyatt play mind games with Randy Orton with through Alexa Bliss.
And on his own.
And on his own through the Firefly Funhouse.
And by showing up right behind him.
Yeah, that was a great moment, though, where Orton's like, he goes, he's behind me. I'm just going to walk straight to Drew McIntyre.
He's like, I could turn around and get eaten by The Fiend, or I could go get beaten up by Drew.
I'll go get
I'm going to go get beaten up by a large, burly Scottishman.
But then also, on top of that, on top of Drew and Bray, you now have The Miz. And The Miz has also tried to cash in already on Randy Orton, only to be foiled by Drew McIntyre. So, like, now that in a weird way with Orton, the title picture has just gotten a lot wider in a way, if that makes any sense, because now you have...
I disagree.
Yeah. But, I mean, they could easily have done all of this with Drew McIntyre, too.
And exactly.
And out of the picture, but I guess by having Orton with the title, that puts...
Their insistence on turning the face, the Fiend face.
Oh, no. He isn't face.
Yeah, he is.
They are face. That's the thing. I was reading that this morning. According to those inside WWE, both Bliss and Bray
are considered the baby faces, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay. Whatever you say. But then this past Wednesday, we had NXT Halloween Havoc, which was hosted by Shotzi Blackheart.
Well, let me finish talking about Hell in a Cell first.
Okay.
I was saying that this was a two-match show, and it was. Roman and Jay and Sasha and Bayley were the only two matches on this show that really mattered. And they are must-watch matches, in my opinion. Go watch them. If you've not seen Roman and Jay from Clash of Champions, watch that first. But there's a superb moment in the Hell in a Cell where Roman deserves a damn Oscar for this match. Like, he's braggadocious, and then he's like vulnerable, and then he's just a complete monster the whole time as well. It's so good. There's a brilliant moment where everyone runs into the cage to try and stop the match, and Roman's like, ain't no one stopping a Hell in a Cell match, right?
Because of what's happened to, like, the last 2 years.
Right. And then there's this moment where, like, Jay's like dead in the middle of the ring, and he gets out and he just closes, and Roman just closes, he's like, ain't no one leaving this structure alive. Like, that's so good. Roman is the best thing on WWE TV right now. Deal with it.
So moving on to Havoc.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, hosted by Shotzi Blackheart.
Yeah, I don't get Shotzi Blackheart.
I think she was the right person to host Halloween Havoc.
Right.
But, and I was talking about this with one of my coworkers at Spirit, which obviously that's over for me now because Halloween's passed.
Uh-huh.
But we were talking about that, and I said, you know, I'm with you on the whole Shotzi Blackheart thing. I just don't get her. But at the same time, do you know who she kind of reminds me of?
Cyndi Lauper.
No. The Boogeyman. When's the boogeyman really best used? Around Halloween time.
Right, but that's not... The only thing that ties Shoxi Blackheart to Halloween is that she howls. It's the only thing. She drives a tank to the ring. Why? What's the point? Is she trying to be Tank Girl? Then try and be Tank Girl.
Yeah. But there definitely needs to be more fleshing out to Shotzi's character because...
She's also like put over as this amazing wrestler and I've never seen her do amazing wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So going into the first match of the night, you had Jonathan Q Wrestling Gargano take on Damian Priest for the North American title in a Devil's Playground match, which took 21 minutes and 5 seconds.
Great match.
Which Gargano would become the first ever 2-time North American champion.
Yeah, great match.
Definitely a great match. This one in the main event has a little bit of news and notes tied to it, so I'm going to wait till I get to the main event to tie in that piece of news.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was one that we did not need, and that was Santos Escobar defeating Jake Atlas in 3 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah. Atlas is in this rare place where sometimes he gets squashed, and sometimes he's like absolutely brilliant. So.
Yeah. Then you had... Now, this took place throughout the night, where you had the Haunted House of Terror match between Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes, which for like, I think 90% of this match was cinematic until the end when they did the finish where Dexter would win by submission.
It's very good. It's very fun.
Yeah. It was definitely very fun. Cameron Grimes literally like pissing himself over everything was great. But apparently he has a match tonight on NXT. Thought he was eaten by zombies, but whatever.
It's Halloween Havoc, man.
Yep. And then this one was actually a good hard-hitting match, at least in my
opinion. Two large lasses beating the snot out of each other.
And Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez. And in 1302, it would be Ripley taking the victory.
Good match.
Good hard-hitting matchup. And then in the main event, you had Io Shirai defend her NXT Women's Championship against Candice LeRae.
Candice LeRae? Who's Candice LeRae?
I said Candice.
No, you didn't.
In a tables, ladders, and
also, stairs, who's Candice LeRae?
You know that full one better than I do.
Go on then. You got to practice it.
Candice Q Wrestling Gargano LeRae?
LeRae Gargano.
LeRae Gargano, okay.
Yes.
In a tables, ladders, and scares match. Because obviously both the Garganos had the spin the wheel, make a deal stipulations to their matches. Io would come out victorious. However, it should be noted that both in the North American title match and the women's title match, there was a person coming out in the Scream ghost face mask and cloak. This is where the news comes in. Where NXT stars are frustrated with COVID-19 testing protocols because there's a growing frustration within NXT that there's about how they're doing the testing. As we know that there was an outbreak earlier this month that took out, from the Performance Center. And the one person that has been kind of tied into the Gargano's storyline has been Indy Hartwell. According to reports, Indy Hartwell is one of the people that has been put into quarantine due to the latest COVID concerns and was supposed to be in the ghost face mask for both matches, but with somebody else. So what happens tonight on NXT is yet to be seen, but Indy Hartwell is supposed to be a part of this storyline for both of them.
Okay. There was a bump at the end of this match where LeRae went off the top of a ladder, through another ladder.
Yeah.
What looked to be knees first.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Yeah, like even when they showed the replays, I was just like, oh, like my knees were feeling that one too. It was like, not good.
Yeah.
So that was Halloween Havoc.
Good show overall.
Yeah, no, definitely a good show overall. I think the only thing that they did not need for the show was the Escobar Atlas match.
Yeah.
Outside that, I thought everything else was great.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, because they could have easily taken that 328 and maybe put that on the Ripley Gonzalez match or on the Shirai LeRae match.
Yeah.
So. Which brings us next to what will be this Saturday, and they're doing the Go Home show tonight on TNT.
I feel bad for NXT and AEW tonight.
Because
last week should have been their Go Home shows. They should have been treating last week as their Go Home shows. Because this week, everyone's going to be worried about election fallout.
And it could be a few days before we even know
who's
going to win.
Anyway.
But yeah.
That is all we're going to say.
Yep. But yeah, tonight anyways, it's the Go Home show for Full Gear, for AEW.
Yep.
Just going to go run through the car that I see in front of me for Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
So this is perfect because you and I were talking quite a bit about this before we went live. The AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament. Hangman Adam Page versus Kenny Omega. The winner will receive a future AEW World Championship match. Funny thing about this. Hey, they have a ranking system in AEW, right?
Yeah, and not one of the people in the top eight, in the eight people in this tournament, were in the top five when it was announced.
Yeah.
And not one of them is in the top five now.
Yeah, so you have that. You have next up, you have Cody with Arn Anderson versus Darby Allin.
Don't care.
AEW TNT title.
I never thought I would get to the point where I would say I don't care about a Cody match, but I'm just bored of him at this point. Yeah. It's the same match every time. Overbooked finishes. Just put the belt on Darby and be done with it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that for that that community text chat thing that you can do, Cody still texts about how he did a text like I think last week after it was announced that he was going to face Darby, and he's like, "Why do I have to face him again? Like, why? What? I mean, I respect him. I respect
his work. Why did you have to fight Orange Cassidy again?"
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. I kind of hope that kind of leads to Darby winning. It would be nice to get the title off of Cody. But we'll see.
All right, yeah.
Oh, this is a fun one. You and I saw you tweet about this, and I saved this purposely for this. FTR with Tully Blanchard versus the Young Bucks for the AEW World Tag Team titles. If the Young Bucks lose, they will never challenge for the AEW World Tag Team titles again.
It's the same shit they did last year, just with last year, Full Gear, Cody. If I don't beat just Jericho, I'll never challenge for the AEW titles again. This year, Full Gear. It's the exact same fucking thing.
Which leads me to believe the Bucks are probably going to win.
Yeah.
Because they can't do it 2 years in a row where they're...
Which is really shitty because FTR deserved to hold those titles for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you for the resub.
So, but yeah, I remember seeing the stipulation before you actually did your thing on Twitter. And then you did the tweet on Twitter. I was just like, I'm just going to save this for the show. I'm just going to save this for the show because I know we're going to talk about it. But yeah.
Are they that bereft of ideas?
For all the shit they put on WWE, they...
And of all the things they could have done, right? Of all the things they could have done for a stipulation for this match, right? They could have done anything as a stipulation for this match, the way that they've been building it up with Hangman and all the other stuff, and the fact that FDR have basically demolished the Elite from within by merely existing, right? They could have done anything with a stipulation for this match.
They could have easily, you know, instead of doing the I will never challenge for this title again thing, mm-hmm. they could have just gone, we just can't challenge as long as you're the champions.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do anything. You could just, you could do a hardcore match. You could do an FTR rules match. You could do anything, right? Like,
I could honestly see the Bucks winning on Saturday and using it as a catalyst to extend the feud longer, which would then lead to FTR having that more longer reign.
Getting the belts back, yeah.
Yeah, and then have that long reign that they should have. And, you know, and that's what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Next up, you have Moxley defending the AEW World title against Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match.
For as short as this feud has been built, right? For as short as this feud has been built, there's been some excellent promos. I suggest you check him out. Eddie Kingston, I've always been a fan of Eddie Kingston's promos, but he's just very, very good with the microphone. Don't think it needed to be an I Quit match, but then they saw that WWE did one at Hell in a Cell, so I guess they needed to do one too.
Next up, you have an Elite Deletion match between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. I thought this feud freaking ended.
Well, I mean, it did when they dropped Matt Hardy on his head from 20 feet. But here we are. Then again, he challenged the Inner Circle to an Elite Deletion match a long time ago, right? So I think this is just paying that off. And doing it in a way that is controlled, where they can not have them kill each other.
Yeah, and not only that, but like, this is obviously the cinematic match.
Yeah.
Of the night. So you have, like you just said, a lot more control on that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. You have Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose with Vicky Guerrero with the AEW Women's World Championship on the line.
You know what I think of this match?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly what I'm going to go do now, which is take a piss break.
And right there, we just went to a break for Ben. So Ben has walked away for a piss break. I feel special. How you doing, Tim? So yeah, Tim, thanks for listening to the Power Ranger podcast and stuff like that. I appreciate that, man. It's really cool. Oh, hey, Ben, you're back.
Yes. And I joke about the pee break, but not really. These are the two most dominant AEW women's champions in history. And they've just been kind of
thrown together. Well, what it was is that Sheeta was like, okay, I took on Thunder Rosa and who's next? And there's really nobody next for her.
Yeah.
Outside of Nyla Rose.
It was very interesting that, like, I realized something that when there was a point about 4 or 5 months ago where Nyla Rose was like, and I've got a manager now. And then got like 5 minutes of screen time.
And now here she is in a women's title match.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
No.
All right. And then next up you have Chris Jericho versus MJF in a singles match. And if MJF wins, he is allowed to join the Inner Circle.
Yar.
And then there's a pre-show match.
Looking forward to that.
And then that's Orange Cassidy versus John Silver.
That'll be a good match as well. That's been built pretty well.
Yeah. So.
Also, it's John Silver, so it can't be all bad.
Yep. So that was that's AEW Full Gear. Obviously, something could be subject to change because they are doing the go-home show tonight.
And I know that we've got MJF and Wardlow against Ortiz and Sammy Guevara.
That's an interesting combination.
Basically, there was a town hall last week, and Ortiz and Sammy Guevara don't want MJF to join the Inner Circle. So after it was announced that Jericho and MJF would have a match, while Santana's like, eh, whatever, right? Ortiz and Guevara are anti-MJF. So they're like, we're going to have a tag match with you next week. You aren't going to make it to the pay-per-view, basically. Yeah.
All right. So
am super looking forward to Hangman and Kenny.
I think that's going to be the best match.
Even though I can tell you that Kenny's going to win it, right? I think what's going to happen is Hangman's going to lose here. Kenny's going to win. He's going to go on and take the title from Moxley. And then Hangman's going to beat Kenny for the title. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think at that moment, an absolute star will be born. Like, he's already over as hell, right? Hangman.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with that. But also at the same time, like, after going for that entire card, like, I think Kingston and Moxley will be good.
Like, FTR Young Bucks will be a good match.
Oh, yeah, and FTR Young Bucks will be good.
It'll be a very good match. The stipulation's annoying, but...
But I think Omega Page is going to be match of the night, hands down.
Jericho MJF should be interesting. Matt Hardy Guevara will be interesting just to see what they do with it, since it's going to be...
An Elite Deletion.
Elite Deletion.
Yeah.
But... Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess that brings us to the final segment.
The positive things in wrestling.
Yeah.
Which we didn't even discuss on.
Yeah.
Pre-production.
I know what I'm going to go for, so.
I'll let you go first to give myself a little bit more time to think.
La Dinner Debonair. The musical number that Jericho and MJF did. There has been a lot of good in wrestling this last 2 months or so, right? The Dinner Debonair stuff, a whole lot of everything that Hangman Adam Page has been doing on BTE, the promo he cut with Cutler. Oh, it was so good. The Brand Cutler finally getting his first win. Like, there's been some, but the thing that stood out for me was the Dinner Debonair, because it was a musical number sung live. And yes, that was MJF singing.
Yeah. And it's funny, you and I had shared on my private Facebook, you know, and I said, you know, if WWE had done that, everyone pretty much would have crapped all over it. But this is okay. You know, as part of, like, you know how, like, the double standard.
Right. I think that's what you meant to write, but that's not what you wrote.
Yeah. I mean, you and I talked about it afterwards.
Right. But you definitely phrased it very differently.
Yeah, I phrased it very differently. But you could imagine it, like, even if WWE pulled it off as just as great as Jericho MJF was, people would be crapping all over them.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Like, so, but I the one thing I told you this too, MJF carried himself real well in that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. But yeah, the way you phrased it on
Facebook
was not what you said you meant. You basically went, the post on Facebook was like, this is bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I disagree. I think this is fucking excellent.
Yeah, and that was kind of the point I was making. Like, if I crapped on AEW, people would come to the defense. That's why I did it the way I phrased it there.
That sounds a bit like backpedaling to me, but okay.
I actually had two people text me going, what are you talking about? WWE sucks anyway. I'm like, yeah, shut up. You know?
But I wouldn't have knocked that on WWE either.
Yeah.
Assuming it was done as well as it was done on AEW.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And as long as it made... Because, like, it made sense for MJF and Jericho to do a musical number, right? Because it's very much in their characters.
Oh, yeah.
If it had fit like it did there and it was done as well, I'd have been fine with it on WWE, too.
Yeah. I just saw the good positive for me.
Okay, go ahead.
Ilya Dragunov versus Walter on NXT UK.
I want to agree.
I'm not talking about the Walter side. I'm talking about more of the Dragunov side.
I want to agree, but Walter's involved.
I know. Obviously, we don't talk a lot of NXT UK on the show as much as we probably should.
No.
But going into the pandemic, Dragunov actually won a number one contendership to the UK championship. Pandemic hit, he had to wait a while. He finally got his match for the title. And when you get somebody like Jim Cornette high praising the match, and we know how negative he has been about everything, you know you did something right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know,
it was just two big boys beating each other up that whole match, which is why I think a lot of people enjoyed it. So,
well, not only that, but from, you could probably attest to this because you've watched more of the NXT UK, but like, since they've come back, they've been doing a really good job.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed the UK.
Yeah. Now that I have a bit more time available to me, I'm going to start watching a little bit more UK.
Good. You should.
Because I've been hearing like lots of good things about its return.
Again, I wasn't as enamored with this match as many people were, but that part of that is I'm not the biggest Walter fan, and I'm not a big strong style fan. I'm not a big fan of just strikes and hitting each other. That's just not my jam.
That's okay. And do what we forgot to talk about for Halloween Havoc.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. It is okay to like different things in wrestling.
Yeah. Do what we forgot to talk about on Halloween Havoc.
Oh, Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
Pete Dunne.
He has come back and he's aligned himself with Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, and Pat McAfee.
I'm so happy.
And they destroyed Kyle O'Reilly.
While I hate the fact that Breezango aren't tag champions anymore, I love that Oney Lorcan is a tag champ because his Twitter has been amazing.
His Twitter has always been amazing.
Now. Right, but it's especially amazing now. It's oh man.
So Tiny Tim asks, Tomohiro Ishii is your favorite ever wrestler then, Bob?
No, Tim, he is not. I'm not a big strong style fan.
Which is fine. You know,
I'd rather watch the junior heavyweights over in New Japan. So
perfectly fine though. Everyone has their own tastes and stuff like that. So it's perfectly fine.
He's also completely balmy.
Tiny Tim just said he's nuts.
Okay.
Oh man. So, with that, anything else popping up last second?
I think we're good. Let's do this. Let's do the outro to the podcast, and then we can chat a bit on stream and do the outro to the stream. So.
All right. So, Bob, Ben. Well, Bob for Twitch, Ben for podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Where can the people find you on the social medias?
On Twitter, you can find me at
Bob T. Goldfish.
On the internet, in other places, you can find me doing mostly Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid, which is on Twitter at
txhdhockey.com/VFTG.
And
Twitter at
that's why I said it is on Twitter at.
Oh, and then Twitter at VFTG underscore
and
PR.
On our website at
txhdhockey.com/VFTG.
Thank you. Please pay attention.
I'm used to you doing the website first.
Please pay attention, dear boy. I've had to take a bit of a break recently, but I intend to at some point get back to doing my Power Rangers columns every month or so over at
txhdhockey.com/bens-journey.
The next one to come out will be,
I think it's
Ninja Storm. I just don't know when that will be. When I get the urge to type again. Or the ability, should I say. You can also find me every weekday morning around 10 o'clock doing the Twitch thing over at
twitch.tv/321TV. Or underscore TV.
Yep. And that's me.
All right. And then you can find me on the Twitters at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. Of course, everything's on my website at txhdhockey.com for this show specific /awesomemania. And I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75. I'm actually going to be getting a schedule created soon, because I actually have more time now, so I actually can have a schedule.
Yeah.
I only have one thing scheduled so far, and that's Monday nights or evenings, but you'll find out soon. So with that, Ben, for the podcast, take us out.
So for the podcast, I end the way I do literally everything. By saying, guys, gals, and online pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace.